Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. And let me warn you beforehand, this is a very confusing passage. I think I really got it after I read it about the fourth time. But there are so much gold buried in this chapter, it's well worth remembering it. And when you get the opportunity, read and reread it again at home. Luke 16, verses 1 through 13. Jesus said to his disciples, "There was once a rich man who had a manager. He got reports that the manager had been taking advantage of his position by running up huge personal expenses. So he called him in and said, 'What's this I hear about you? You're fired, and I want a complete audit of your books.' And the manager said to himself, 'What am I going to do? I've lost my job as manager. I'm not strong enough for a laboring job, and I'm too proud to beg. Ah, I've got a plan. Here's what I'll do. Then, when I'm turned out into the street, people will take me into their houses.' And then he went at it. One after another, he called in the people who were in debt to his master. He said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 jugs of olive oil.' The manager said, 'Here, take your bill, sit down here. Quick now, write 50. And to the next he said, "And you, what do you owe?" He answered, 100 sacks of wheat. He said, "Take your bill, write in 80. Now, here's a surprise. The master praised the crooked manager. And why? Because he knew how to look after himself. Streetwise people are smarter in this regard than law-abiding citizens. They are on constant alert, looking for angles, surviving by their wits. I want you to be smart in the same way, but for what is right." Repeat, but for what is right. "Using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival, to concentrate your attention on the bare essentials, so you'll live, really live, and not complacently just get by on good behavior." Jesus went on to make these comments: "If you're honest in small things, you'll be honest in big things. If you're a crook in small things, you'll be a crook in big things. If you're not honest in small jobs, who will put you in charge of the store? No worker can serve two bosses. He'll either hate the first and love the second, or adore the first and despise the second. You can't serve both God and the bank." And here ends our scripture reading. May we sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this morning. I think all of us have questions after participating in the scripture reading. How can this possibly be? Is this crooked manager really using his master's money to buy friends for himself? And what is even more confusing is that both the master in the story and Jesus are positively impressed with this man. And a closer look shows that Jesus was actually praising his ingenuity and his initiative. The parable finds the master gladly welcoming economic loss if it means that he has an insured and restored standing in the community. The master understood that spiritual well-being is more important than financial well-being. So let's explain it this way. A man was riding in a taxi when he realized that he had left his wallet at home. So he quickly made a plan. About a block away from his destination, he said to the driver, "Driver, stop at this hardware store and wait for me. I need to buy a flashlight so I can look for the $100 bill that I dropped back here." And when the man came out of the hardware store, the taxi was gone. So the man used the taxi driver's crookedness to get himself out of a fix. Now, I do need to add something personal here. I still believe if you rode in a taxi, pay the fare, in spite of the story. Jesus said, "I want you to be smart in the same way, but for what is right, using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival, to concentrate your attention on the bare essentials so that you will live, really live, and not complacently just get by on good behavior." Let's face it, we are living in a materialistic culture, largely built on what people gather for themselves. While important to have enough possessions to live independently in our times, some people get their priorities mixed up. Brother, sister, friend, when money becomes more important than the people around us, let me tell you, then we are heading for real trouble. Many young people cannot imagine life without wealth. So I want you to listen to the modern yuppie's prayer. He prayed, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray all my stuff to keep. I pray my stocks are on the rise and that my analyst is wise. And all the wine I sip is white and that my hot tub's watertight. That racquet ball won't get too tough and that all my sushi's fresh enough. I pray my cell phone still works, that my career won't lose its perks. My microwave won't radiate. My condo won't depreciate. I pray my health club doesn't close and my money market grows. And if I go broke before I wake, I pray my Volvo they won't take." Telling story, so true of many in our times. No, but if you go a bit deeper, beyond the humor, then many of us will discover he sounds just a little bit like some of us. And let me say beforehand, it's not always bad. The idea that success spoils people by making them vain, egotistic, and self-complacent is often wrong. On the contrary, it makes many of them humble, tolerant, and kind. Failure often makes people bitter and cruel. Poverty often breaks up homes and produces disease and moral decay. It breeds crime and destroys initiative. No, there is no virtue in thinking small. Dream dreams great enough to challenge the best in you. Dreams great enough to keep you going when times get tough. When you are motivated by a great dream, do just that. Keep reaching out. Don't be afraid to think big. And when you do succeed, keep it all in perspective. You know the former multi-billionaire Aristotle Onassis was a tragic example of the importance of this principle. That man had everything that money could possibly buy. He built his life on only one foundation, and he used to proclaim, "All that really counts these days is money." And tragically, that was only until the day that his son Alexander died in a plane crash. The wealthiest man in the world aged overnight. He suddenly became an old man. Aristotle Onassis was never the same afterward. His little world that he thought was so safe, so secure, slowly began to unravel. And Onassis died a deeply, deeply unhappy man. Scripture tells us, ultimately, people are far more important than possessions. I know people who would gladly sacrifice every penny they have if they could only get their loved one healthy again. Many things in our lives are far, far more important than earthly possessions. Our lives only begin to make real sense when we finally get our priorities straight and live accordingly. People, loved ones, friends are far more important than all the possessions you and I may have. Success is only real success when your priorities are in harmony with what really matters in life. And by the way, it's not me saying so. Jesus actually did. Right here, right now, this morning, in the beauty of this sanctuary and worship, we learn to understand what really matters most in life. Jesus gives profound advice in Matthew 6, verse 33, saying, "Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, and God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Put God first, and the rest will follow by itself. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold." Gwendolyn.